Grace to you and peace from God our Father, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, Faith Lutheran Church, if you're listening to this, then I am definitely sick. And I want to thank the guys for filling in for me. I'm sorry. This kind of thing happens when you're the only pastor. And so we're having to make do. My plans were to continue the sermon from last week. You know, last week we heard the close of Galatians chapter 6, and kind of a heavy sermon. It would be, I guess, what we would call a heavy law sermon. And Paul, he tells us, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore, mend such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. And he tells us to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. He doesn't really tell us there at the end what the law of Christ is, but he does today, or those who organized the lectionary put it in there in our Old Testament reading and our epistle reading, and Jesus brings it up in the gospel reading. And so I want to talk about here what God has for us as a continuation from last week. You know, we are called, Paul said in our epistle reading, to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. And so walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Well, this does not happen of your own will. This is something that is created by God through his word, through the Spirit of God. This is why Paul uses those words, spiritual. Those of you who are spiritual, those of you who are filled with the Spirit of God, filled with the love and the Spirit. You see, God's grace comes to you in the gospel. You hear the good news of Jesus, and when you really truly grasp that as best we can, you understand the love that he has for you. And this is what Paul's talking about in his epistle, in our epistle reading today, as he introduces and begins his letter to the church in Colossae, his letter to the Colossians. He says, "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. For this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and growing, as it also does among you, since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in his glorious might." You see, Paul here in this introduction gets it right, gets the order, or shows for us the order of things in our life. Here first, we hear the gospel, then the gospel bears fruit within us, the word of truth, and it causes and wells up for us a hope that we have, a hope of a great inheritance that begins now and will be carried out at that last day. This good news bears fruit in our everyday lives as we, as heard last week, as we bear one another's burdens, as we hear this week, as we love the saints, love the neighbors that God brings into our everyday life. So we have the work that God is doing for us in Christ Jesus by the grace of God, through love and forgiveness. Then we have the work, the love that is produced out of that in our lives. We go out with our hands and our feet and our mouths, and we love one another. We care for one another. We bear good fruit. Now, in this world, sometimes we get things all topsy-turvy. We get things out of whack. And I was thinking about this, and I thought, you know, one way we get this out of whack is sometimes we put the work or the love before the grace, instead of the grace that produces the work. You see what I'm saying? So we try to justify ourselves before God, like the lawyer in the gospel reading is trying to do with Jesus. Look at all the good things I've done. I'm a good person. And so we neglect or throw away the grace of God. We throw away Jesus Christ as our Savior, and we hold up our work, which, of course, is tainted with sin. One other way that we get things mixed up is we add work to the grace of God or the gospel. So it's Jesus plus our love for the saints. That justifies us before God. That qualifies us for the love of God and the inheritance that he has prepared for us. You see, it's the same thing happening. We're throwing away the life, the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. When we add our work to it, our love, something else Lutherans are really good at when we hear something like this is where we reduce everything to the grace of God and we neglect the love of the saints, the love of our neighbors. Because anything that smells of work or works righteousness or like we might be giving up on the grace of God, we quickly hear and we quickly push away. But if you look through Scripture, if you hear the words of Paul and Jesus, and even the Old Testament reading from Leviticus, you hear that it is the love of God, the grace of God in Christ Jesus, the gospel, that produces within us the love of the neighbor. Okay, so it's both. You know, James talks about this a great deal in his letter where he says, you cannot have just faith and no works. Okay, you cannot say with your lips that Jesus is Lord and then withhold love and grace from your neighbor. It doesn't work out. They go together. The grace that God shows you produces in you grace to bear one another's burdens, to mend one another when you transgress, to bring reconciliation, forgiveness, and love and life and salvation through the gospel. You can't get this all mixed up. The Lord is warning Israel in our Old Testament reading about this. If you look on page 6 of the Old Testament reading, right at the very top, the first paragraph, the Lord or Jesus spoke to Moses saying, "Speak to the people of Israel and say to them, I am the Lord your God. You shall not do as they do. You shall not do as they do in the land of Egypt where you lived, and you shall not do as they do in the land of Canaan to which I am bringing you. You shall not walk in their statutes. You shall follow my rules and keep my statutes and walk in them. For I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my rules. If a person does them, he shall live by them. For I am the Lord." Now he's warning them, don't get things mixed up here. Remember, I have delivered you out of the hands of slavery, and I'm bringing you into this place I prepared for you, this promised land. Now don't walk like they walked. In Egypt, don't do what they do in Canaan. Do what I'm telling you to do. Walk in this way, this new way. That way is the Lord's way. Walk in faith and trust in him. And Paul, when he's writing to Romans, he'll point back here at Israel and Abraham, and he'll say that the ones who are righteous lived by faith. So by faith, they fulfilled, they worked, and they loved their neighbor, which is the very last line of our Old Testament reading. But you shall love your neighbor as yourself, for I am the Lord. You see, so you got to get these in the right order here. You can't just bear one another's burdens and mend one another if you're not understanding the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because the gospel of Jesus, your salvation, your forgiveness, the grace you have from God in Jesus, creates in you a love that's different than the world shows, a love that's different than Egypt and Canaan, a love that's different than your American neighbors or your Texian neighbors. They're going to love different than you. Your love is going to be filled with sacrifice and grace and humility and gentleness, as Paul said last week. You're going to bear one another's burdens. Now, the lawyer in our gospel reading today he's wrestling with this, and Jesus tells this fantastic story. And I want to read it to you. You see this lawyer, he comes up to Jesus, and he's going to test Jesus. He says, teacher, he calls him teacher, not Lord, just teacher. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus, knowing what's going on here with this guy, of course, he says, what's written in the law? What's written in the law? How do you read it? And the man says, well, you should love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says, well, you have answered correctly. Do this and you will live. Love the Lord with all that you have and then bear fruit. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. When you do this, you will live. You will, as Abraham was, you will be righteous by faith. You will understand the grace of God that you have been given. Well, the lawyer, he wants to justify himself, Luke says, and he pushes Jesus even further, saying, well, who is my neighbor? Well, so Jesus responds not with a list of who could be his neighbor, but with a story, with a parable. We've all heard this parable of the Good Samaritan, and it goes like this. It's on page 8 if you want to follow along. Jesus says, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, down the road, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds and poured oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back. Jesus asks the lawyer now, which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers, to the Samaritan? The lawyer, the man, he says, the one who showed him mercy. Jesus said, go and do likewise. Love as you have been loved. Okay, go and love as you have been loved. We can't disconnect this story from Paul's letter to the Galatians or from the Lord speaking to the Levites. You see, the deliverance comes first. You've been saved by grace through faith. You have heard the gospel. You have been filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And so now you walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. This is what the Samaritan is doing. He has had compassion because he knows of the divine compassion shown to him on the cross of Christ. It's a great continuation from our sermon last Sunday. You see, it can be a little scary, can be a little uneasy. Sometimes you don't feel like you're equipped to bear others' burdens, to walk with others, to mend people when they trespass, when they're caught up or overtaken by a sin. But you don't need to be an expert. You just need to walk in faith and trust. Because this is what has happened for you. God has mended you. He has bore your burden. He has carried your sin. And he did it all at just the right time. He shows us what it means to love our neighbor. And he tells us a story just to make sure we understand. Now in the epistle reading, just at the end, kind of in the middle of the last paragraph on page 7, Paul has a kind of a prayer, and I want to close here with you. Paul says, may you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, and the forgiveness of sins. That is the gospel for you. You have been qualified. You have been delivered. You have been redeemed. You have been forgiven. From this, in great gratitude and humility, we bear one another's burdens. We love our neighbor. So, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all as you love the Lord and love your neighbor. Amen.